it's really hard to see the little indicator lights when the sun is bright like this. Gary, I wanted to, is this a good time to do the recognition of our teachers? All right. I'm going to invite Carrie Germain to come on forward with her bag of stuff. Yeah, we'll do one else too. All right. Just wanted to use this time as joys and concerns. If there's ever a bigger joy, it's the people who come forward to serve. And we just want to acknowledge a few people today. Do you want to speak into the microphone?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you to Miss Jen Wagner and Miss Barb Stafford for their dedicated Sunday school teaching. It's a job that I think goes unnoticed. People really don't see all the hard work that they put into planning the activities and the crafts. And so I just wanted to say a huge thank you for Miss Barb and Miss Jen. If they would come up here, please. I have a little gift. And I found these cute little tags. They say, thank you for being the hands of Jesus. And really, that's you're doing. So thank you. And then I also felt inclined to get one for Miss Eva, because she's always just there as like the backup nursery person. And I feel like she's just another teacher that goes on. Thank you, Miss Eva.
Coming up, Miss Eva. I just think it's kind of fun that anytime you ask Eva to do something, you already know she's going to say yes.
Thank
you. And we have
we have a gift for you for being our teacher for all of us. So thank you, Pastor Reed, for
I appreciate
that.
Hold on.
And Carrie, we have something for you, because you've been leader of the troops for a long time. I remember Christmas pageants where we had lots of kids, Christmas pageants where some of the kings were wearing high heels.
I had blue hair.
And all the things you've done, even though it's been a struggle and you've stuck in there, because I know you feel like the children need to learn. And they need to learn about Jesus. So,
my gosh, this is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you. It's an honor to serve, really.
Thank you. Is that?
Oh, that's her. My house. Yeah.
There's one other person we're going to honor today. It is graduation Sunday, and I'd like Miles to come on up. Miles Wagner is our lone graduate. We got a lot of in-betweeners, but we got one graduate. And as you drive up and down US 23 for the next several years, you get to look at the Domino's Farms off to the side. That's going to be his new home. Is it marketing or management? What are you...
Marketing.
So our marketing major is headed to Domino's, so hopefully growing bigger and better things, and everybody will know your name.
We
appreciate it.
Thank you.
And as you make the transition, know that we're there with you. All right?
Thank you, everyone.
I hit the button again. There we go. So, Miles, that's one of the things that you're going to learn is that when you're working through the workplace, you're going to see the over 40 people doing this. Just read it for them. It's an act of love. All right. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer now. This is an opportunity to be in communion with the God who created us and knows all the needs of our hearts. But he invites us to come to him and to share our concerns of our hearts and And he's willing to listen even before we're willing to speak. For those online and those here in the room, at the end of each piece, I'm going to pause. That's to allow you to add names that I might not have. The reason that we don't allow people to shout out is because sometimes the people whose name is shouted out don't know it's coming. And it's not an act of love to surprise people in that way sometimes. So Almighty God, as we come before you today, help us to feel your presence and your power as we lift up those who are on our hearts. Lord, we lift up those who grieve. As we prepare for Don Fuller's funeral on Monday, we lift up the family. We also lift up Marianne's nephew, Gary, who lost his battle with lung cancer in North Dakota and passed away. And we want to be with that family too as they grieve. Lord, let Arise be the kind of place where people can share the fond memories and share the pain and loss and be lifted up through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, for those who grieve, hear our prayer, O Lord. We pray for those in hospice. We pray for my mother-in-law, Charlotte, who was at the memorial service for her husband, Tom, yesterday, even as she struggles with her Parkinson's. We lift up Don Mathis. We lift up Tammy Inks' mom, Brenda. As their time draws near, Lord, help them to feel your presence and power and help us to feel that they are lifted up by your presence and power. Lord, for those who are in hospice, hear our prayer, Lord. Lord, we have a joy. Eva's cousin, Susie, who we've been praying for her battle in breast cancer, has been given a clear bill of health and is going to be removed from the list today. Steve Carey's granddaughter, Juliet, is still battling leukemia. Mary Ann's daughter, Debbie, is still in her chemotherapy regimen. Tom Shum continues to recover from his second brain surgery, as does Mark, continue to recover from his second brain surgery. We pray for John with his diagnosis of esophageal cancer. We pray for Henry as he continues radiation treatment for prostate. And for Colette and Mary and Greg Ambergy, our retired fire chief, we pray for the three of them as their cancer has come out of remission and they are joining the battle anew. Lord, we pray for all those who are on our list of cancer battlers, and we pray that they might find the regimen that gives them peace. Lord, for those battling cancer, hear our prayer, O Lord. Lord, we lift up Lexi's grandma, Suzanne. She was hospitalized, but still has gotten any answers as to what happened or why it happened. And we pray that she might find those answers. We pray for Carol Sanborn as she has some diabetes complications. We pray for Judy, who is recovering from a torn meniscus. We pray for Jerry Dawson, who's on the kidney transplant list. We pray for Alice McLeod at Devotion House. And we pray for our food pantry patrons. We sometimes forget that it is not just that they don't have food, but the many circumstances that cause them to be without food. And we lift them up, that you might hear their prayer as well, O Lord. Lord, for all who are battling, we ask you to hear our prayer, O Lord. Lord, we give you thanks for those that serve, for those who serve in the military, including my son in Estonia, for those who serve in law enforcement as first responders, as last responders, in hospitals, in retirement communities of Kingston, Wellbridge, Devotional House, and Dancy House. Our leaders, our teachers, and our schools, Lord, may all who have answered your call to serve do it with your power, your vision, and your presence. And now, O Lord, we offer ourselves in answer to these prayers, if we are to be your hands and feet or to bring your word, send us. Even as we pray the prayer that your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This particular scripture is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament with the resurrected Jesus. We're reading from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending you what my Father promised, and so stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The word of God for the people of God.
It's one of my favorites too, George. I would like to just unpack a little bit of it. There's some background and stuff that I think you might gloss over. One of the things that I always, as I'm talking about transitions and going from one thing to another, when Jesus is talking about opening their minds to understanding the scriptures, you have to understand that those scriptures are the Old Testament. There isn't a New Testament because it's happening at the moment. So I always pause and wonder when people say, well, we're a New Testament church. Well, that's kind of hard to do if you take all the Old Testament out of Matthew and Luke and Romans. You don't have much Bible left. So while it is a new chapter, it's a new chapter of the same story, the story of God and his people. The other thing that I think is interesting is Bethany is quite close to Jerusalem, but it is a bit of a walk. So Jesus is walking with them, and there are several people with him. One of the things that sets Christianity apart is quite often in other religions, great things happen, but they always happen in private when it's just one person. Whether it's Joseph Smith or Muhammad or whatever, in this instance, he's walking down a road with a bunch of people. When he rises up and goes into heaven, there's a whole bunch of people watching him ascend. becomes much harder to deny or to doubt when you experience it all together. I am not a psychiatrist. I'm a counselor. But one of the things that is true as you're doing it is you find it very hard to believe that 100 people could have the same delusion. It happened. Jesus rose and went into heaven. But I think the pivotal part is what he's saying just before he rises. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. He is fulfilling a promise that God made through him. One of my favorite stories is a children's story. It's a children's sermon, children's moment. And in the Sunday school class, they're talking to the kids and they're saying, well, you know, we've been studying the Bible all year, and before we break for summer, I'd just like to have you tell me what are your favorite parts, who are your favorite characters in the Bible? And the kids start to say, oh, Peter was so cool. Peter was a fisherman, and he was on a boat, and that's great. And one says, Matthew was a tax collector. He was rich. I want to be Luke. Luke was the doctor. I want to be Paul. I want to be Matthew. I want to be John, because he's the one who Jesus loved. And one kid says, I want to be Lo. And the teacher just kind of stops and goes, what did you say? I said, I want to be Lo. I don't remember a story about Lo in the Bible. He says, oh, come on. Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And it's the last line from Matthew, and he caught on it, and he personified it. All of a sudden, Lo was a person, and he wanted to be Lo because he wanted Jesus to be with him until the end of the age. That is a wonderful promise. I think that kid learned more about Bible study than all the other kids. He grasped on to the truth and what it was that was being promised. And that's what Jesus is promising in this scripture. He's promising the presence of the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. As we go through life and we do these changes in chapters and we move on to the next piece, there are going to be doubts, there are going to be questions. I'm coming into a new chapter. I'm going to go into semi-retirement, which I thought was going to happen 3 years from now. But God didn't. I was doing some research, and I was looking at a gentleman named Richard Rodgers. Richard Rodgers was a musical genius, and he wrote lots of great songs, and he became very popular on Broadway, and he found a guy named Lorenzo Hart, and they began to write musicals. And My Girlfriend, Connecticut Yankee, Jumbo, On Your Toes, Babes in Arms, he had this wonderful career. He was the toast of Broadway, when suddenly Lorenzo Hart became sick and he died. And they told Rodgers that you really should just think about retiring. Don't feel bad. You've had a wonderful career. You were the light of Broadway for quite a while, and you should just be thankful. But his agent introduced him to a guy named Oscar Hammerstein. And maybe you've heard of some Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals. The Sound of Music. Had he listened and cut short his career, we might not have had what is called the Golden Age of Broadway. But God continues to work in mysterious ways. One of the things that I watched some basketball this weekend, and they were talking about the Los Angeles Lakers and a man named LeBron James. And they said, one of the announcers said, LeBron James is God's gift to basketball. And I went, oh, really? So that's an interesting way of putting it. But I've heard that phrase a lot, haven't you? That's God's gift to music. That's God's gift to science. That's God's gift to football, basketball, baseball, hockey, whatever. And they fill in the blank, and I think that you say that a little flippantly. Because I think it is, there's a big difference between being the best at something and being God's gift to something. But I go back to Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein. They wrote a musical in 1945 called Carousel, which, as I look back on it, ain't that great a show. It's one of those things where you're watching along and you're trying to decide who to root for, and you're going, yeah, not really sure what I want to do with that. But Oscar Hammerstein wrote these words in that show. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of the lark. And he concludes with the words, and you'll never walk alone. Out of a very ordinary musical came a song that caught on in a big, big way. And I actually heard it first from a guy named Jerry Marsden. Maybe you've heard of the group Jerry and the Pacemakers? Perhaps not. But they had a lot of big hits. They had hits like Ferry Cross the Mersey. And they helped recruit a group called the Beatles, because their manager and producer were George Martin and Brian Epstein. But the funny thing is they had a list of songs that went on, and they had several top 10 hits. But they did a cover of this song, You'll Never Walk Alone. And Jerry Marsden gave a copy of the song to a guy named Bill Shankly, who happened to be the head football coach at Liverpool. Football as in soccer. They call it football over there. And it became the theme song for the Liverpool football team. And they sing it 80,000 strong every time Liverpool takes the field. And they hold up this banner that says, with Liverpool, you'll never walk alone. And they sing this song. And I wonder if you go back to 1945 and ask Oscar Hammerstein, how long do you think this song will be remembered? I don't think he'd say, well, you know, it's a pretty good show. They'll remember it for a while. But we're coming up on 100 years. We're at 80 years now. And they're still singing that song every time they take the field. Why? Because of the promise in the song. The song is so powerful that it transcended the play it was in. It transcended the fact that it was barely a top 40 hit to become timeless. Because as we come together and as we move forward through the chapters of our lives, there are things that we want. And there are things that I wish for you. I wish that you would have God's wisdom. I wish you patience and tenacity, because there's going to be a long period of time between you getting God's wisdom and you convincing other people you have God's wisdom. I pray for protection as you stand faithfully in the footsteps of God and the world around you doubts you, ridicules you, or attacks you. But Jesus said, blessed are those who were reviled and persecuted for my name's sake. I pray that each chapter of your life you will have the confidence to move forward, knowing that the picture is going to change in ways that you don't understand, but God is still in control. But more than anything else, I hope the promise that God gives in the scripture holds true. And I am sending you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Or lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Or walk on. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky, and the sweet silver song of the lark. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks that we do not walk alone. It means sometimes that we don't always know the exact direction we're walking or how we're going to get there, but we have the assurance that you are walking ahead of us, beside us, with us. As we approach these chapter changes in our life, help us to remember that. As Reverend Abernathy said, we may not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And all God's people said,